On the Birmingham Broker Hotline right now, the one and only Chuck Davis of ChuckDavisLaw.com. Hello, Charles, and how are you today, my friend?
Hello, Richard. I would say happy Thursday, but not very happy Thursday for you today, is it?
I may have the Rona. We'll find out. We'll see how bad things are. And, you know, we'll struggle through it. It's into each life, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you're actually holding up pretty well through it. You doesn't sound as if you're having in any pain or having any discomfort at this point.
Well, I've been covering up my pain and discomfort for pretty much my entire life. You know, it's always hurt on the inside, Chuck. Always.
Yeah.
let's talk a little bit about the law, because there's some stuff I find fascinating that I need some answers to, and maybe other people would be interested in these answers as well. I don't know. and I don't care, because I've got the Rona, so I'm only interested in me now. I'm very selfish at this point. Here's
I can't blame you.
Imagine, if you will, I get injured somehow. Let's not even talk about how I got injured. It was somebody else's fault. I was at some other place. It was somebody who wasn't doing what they were supposed to do or doing something they weren't supposed to be doing. And I ended up getting injured. And I wouldn't even know, the overwhelming feeling would be, well, somebody should be handling this. So this shouldn't be my health insurance that's covering this. Somebody should be taking care of this, and it's not me. And I wouldn't even know how to go about how do you even contact the people who you think should be, you know, handling the situation. I'm in a grocery store, and I slip and fall, and I injure my knee. Now I've got a bad knee. I have to go see several people about it. Probably have to get an MRI. Am I paying for that, or can I get the grocery people to pay for that? How does all that work?
Well, you know, it's really a good thing that you wouldn't know what to do next or how to handle it, because if you and everyone else out there listening to you knew what to do, I wouldn't have a job. So I need something to do.
An honest lawyer. That's nice to see. So nice. So I call you, basically, is what it goes. That's what you're telling me. It's just call you.
You need to call me. You need to call your lawyer. You need to find out where you stand to start with. You know, when people call my office, Richard, they're going to talk to me. Some people, sometimes you'll be passed to a paralegal. You may be passed to a secretary. When you call my office, I'm your guy. I'm the guy you're going to talk to.
Straight to Chuck Davis. I like that. That's great.
I'll make an appointment for you. You'll come in, sit down, we'll talk, see what your situation is, see if there's anything I can do. You know, a lot of people struggle with making that first call to call a lawyer, and I get that. I understand that. A lot of people don't know if they really need to call a lawyer, how important that is. I get that. I understand that. Nobody goes out, you know, every day looking to get into litigation or to sue somebody. That's, you know, that's standard. Most people are like that. But on the other hand, you probably didn't go out that day looking for someone else to smash into your car driving to work or wherever you were going, or you probably weren't looking to trip or slip or fall down at someone's business or in a store. So in order to determine, once you something like that happens, you need to talk to a lawyer. You need to find out what the situation is. If you have a case that you might can bring, if you're injured, if you've been damaged, of course you deserve to be compensated. You know, if you're injured, that's what insurance is for. That's what it does.
So what if the grocery store people they offer me a certain amount of money? They go, oh, hey, how about if we just agree to this and make all of this go away? And it's not enough money. It's not really a very good amount of, especially, I mean, MRIs can get expensive. You're dealing with thousands of dollars at some point here. Is there a negotiation period there? Is there what gives? What happens next?
Well, in the first place, it's going to be a rare day when somebody just calls and says, hey, I hear you were injured in our store. Here's a check.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. So you need to, there is negotiation. Once you've called a lawyer, once you've contacted, if it's my office, like I said, you'll come in, we'll sit down, and you'll tell me what happened, what's going on. And there's a lot of things that information that I'll need to get, a lawyer would need to get to determine what happened and whether or not there was negligence. There are a lot of different type claims that can be brought in different types of injuries, and I'm not going to get into the weeds on that. That can go in a lot of different directions, but there's a lot of different types of claims depending on what your injury is and how it happened, whether it was, as you said, in a store, you slip down, you step in water, you're in a business, you trip over something in the floor that shouldn't be there. A lot of different ways, and so there are things that have to be determined. There's information that has to be put together to determine whether you have a claim, and if you do, exactly what type claim you have, and the insurance company will need to be notified. You know, you even need to, anytime you're injured, you need to notify your own insurance company also. Even though you're probably not going to be going to them, they need to know. They need to be put on notice.
Okay, that's good to know. So imagine, if you will, that I'm not a top-quality radio talk show host, but rather I do something that involves a lot of standing or a lot of moving about. I don't know what that would be, but I do something else for a living. And now I've got this bad knee, and it's not just a question of the hospital costs or any of that stuff. Now we're talking about lost wages. I can't do my job because I can't stand up. I'm on one of those little cart, those little, you know, the ones where you have to kneel on it and you push yourself along, and that's what I'm using to get around from this point on. Or I'm in a wheelchair, I got a walker or something. I can't actually do whatever my job is. Can I get compensation for that too?
Yeah, you can. And you know, speaking of those little carts, I broke my ankle in a couple of places 3 or 4 years ago, and I was on one of those little carts for about 10 or 12 weeks, and it's miserable. It's no fun. So,
well,
yes, you can get compensated for that.
I'm not in the business of giving advice, Chuck, but if you broke your ankle in a couple of places, I would suggest you don't go back to those places again, okay?
Well, clearly. You know, I walked outside to let the dog out and slipped in the wet grass.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You could sue the Scotts Turf Builder Company. That's what you should do.
I could sue myself for being so clumsy, I guess. It's hard to take your dog out to let them do their business and fall in wet grass.
I have a weird this happened to me many years ago. I mean, like three cars ago. That's how far back it goes. But I was driving. It was in Homewood. And there's a two-lane road there that leads toward Oxmoor, and there was a guy in the left lane, and I was going to pass him on the right side as we were pulling up on the intersection, and he suddenly just decides that he's going to pull into my lane. And in an effort to not get hit, I veered, and I ended up hitting a storm drain and then bouncing up onto the curb, and I did an immense amount of damage to the undercarriage of my car, and the bumper fell off, which got put back on. But it was a lot of money just to get the undercarriage of the car put back together. Now, when the Homewood police showed up to fill out an accident report, they told me this: well, if he didn't actually hit you, as far as Homewood is concerned, that doesn't qualify as an accident. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. I veered to avoid by this idiot who didn't even bother to check his mirror to make sure there wasn't anyone back here before he took, you know, before he decided to move into my lane.
Yeah.
If for some reason they hadn't listed it as an accident and insurance had not covered this, which they did, by the way, and everything worked out well, insurance more than covered it. But if that hadn't happened, could I have feasibly sued that guy? Is there some way I could have taken him to court?
Well, you probably could have. That's a maybe, probably. But, you know, police coming and writing up a report and doing all that, that's something else that people, most people, don't realize and don't understand. You know, a police report is not admissible in court. That's not evidence of an accident. The police show up after the fact. They show up after the accident has taken place. So, unless they were sitting on a corner in the police car when the accident happened, they don't know what happened. They simply come and they take the statements from the people who were involved in the accident, and they write it down on their piece of paper, and they turn it in and make a police report. Well, that's just hearsay. That's, you know, 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, two people in an accident, those stories are going to be entirely different. You don't stand there together and tell the police officer what happened. He interviews you separately to yeah. find out what happened and how the accident took place. And those stories are almost always going to be two different stories. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
that's fascinating. So what else would you use?
Admissible.
I mean, obviously, and that's weird. I didn't know that. I had no idea. This is fascinating stuff. So a police report not even admissible in a court of law when it comes to this. But what would you use? I mean, do you have, like, eyewitness testimony if somebody was on the corner watching? Could you track that person down? What?
If you have eyewitnesses, that's great. If you're not severely injured, if there's someone else in the car with you, you need, if there's people around, if there's people that saw what happened, you need to get a name and a phone number, if that's at all possible. Car tags, anything you can get. And then once you go to an attorney, then that's the attorney's job to do what's called the discovery and find out what those people saw. Or maybe, you know, how much involvement, if any, and what they saw, and use all that information, because they have to have been there, they have to have witnessed what went on and what and the accident itself to be able to give any testimony, to be able to go to court or to testify or to sign an affidavit or whatever they do. They have to be able to say, I was there and I saw it. Otherwise, they can't testify. So if there are people there who saw the accident and know what happened, if there's any possible way you can get their name and phone number, or people in the car with you might can, do that, because you need that information. Once
this
you get
good
that,
stuff.
Your lawyer will follow up on that.
That this is good stuff. He's my lawyer, Chuck Davis, chuckdavislaw.com, 823-9992. No representations made that the legal services provided or superior to legal services provided by other attorneys. Hold on, if you would, please, Chuck. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back. I want to talk a little bit about debt, because it's something I think a lot of people are finding themselves in right now as the coronavirus lockdown and just our change of behavior is causing an immense number of problems for people. We can address that in mere moments when we return. Stick around. Chuck Davis is hanging out with us. He is my attorney. He ought to be your attorney. And before we get into debt, and I don't mean into debt, we do have a caller. Robert is on a cell phone with a question about wills, which I find interesting. Roberto, you're on Talk 99.5 with Chuck Davis on the Birmingham Broker Hotline. What's up, man?
Yeah, I just got a good question for the lawyer there. My father passed away last year, and he had a will, and it states in the will what everybody receives. The man didn't owe anybody anything except the ambulance ride when he died, a few hospital bills here and there, the house paid for, all that good stuff. And I'm trying to figure out why we have to go through probate to divvy up and sell house and sell a car and a little bit of money in a checking account. For the life of me, I can't figure out why that is when everything states in the will, X people get X amount.
Well, Robert, good question. And a lot of things have to go through probate and through the court because you can't transfer title. If property needs to be sold, sometimes in a will, the will will state that the executor has the authority to sell property. And if that's the case, then that can be done. Sometimes it can't be done. And you have to get court permission to sell property. Automobiles, if they're titled in someone's name, in order for the Department of Revenue to transfer it to another person's name, they're going to have, at the very least, death certificate. Sometimes they may want the court documents that you get when you file an estate. I don't want to get into all that, but there are things that go along with that. And of course, the main thing is to make sure and get through the fact that whoever it was passed away didn't have any debt and he owes nobody any money out there. So the court gives you 6 months to file your claims against the estate in the event there is something out there owing that maybe the executor or the relatives didn't know about.
Gotcha.
So there's no way to avoid probate, even with a will, is what you're saying.
Well, in most situations, not. Now, if it's a small estate, and the amount varies every year, Richard and Robert, and I'm not sure right now what it's around $30,000. If there's no property, real property like a house or something, and your full estate's under $30,000, you can do what's called a small estate, and that's a very quick, easy process to do, and it has to be filed in the court, but it's nothing like filing a full estate.
Yeah, I figure there's another zero on top of that 30 you just said. So,
well, there you go, Robert.
Then there you go.
Yeah. So I'm just, for the life of me, I'm thinking to myself, the only thing a will is actually good for is just so the state does not get your stuff and decide they want their stuff, what belongs to your family members. That's the only thing.
That's true. And a lot of people think that if you don't have a will, everything goes to the state of Alabama, and that's not true. But the state of Alabama specifically tells you who it will go to and in what portion it will go to those people. So, you know, you may have a brother you hated all your life, and he's going to end up with part of your estate. So don't want that to happen.
Don't let it happen. Thank you, Robert, and good luck with it. Sorry for your loss, by the way. We should mention that his father passed away, and we didn't express the sort of condolences one would usually do under those circumstances. So, okay. Real quick, we got like 2 minutes. Many people are amassing debt as a result, and I think a lot of credit card debt, because I know how this works. You're out of work, you go through your savings, and then you begin working on your credit limit, and eventually you get to a point where all your credit cards are maxed out. What happens when it comes time to pay these bills and you don't have the money? Is there a neat trick for, I'm not going to say getting out from under that, but, you know, somehow making that a manageable debt?
Yeah, there is, Richard. And, you know, debt, regardless of what type it is, most debts are negotiable. Creditors, whether it's a creditor, credit card, something like that, or whether it's a landlord and you owe back rent, most people understand something's better than nothing. And so most, if not all, debts are negotiable. It depends on the situation, but they are negotiable. So talk to a lawyer. Go sit down and talk to a lawyer and find out what options you might have as far as the debt, what part of it could be reduced or done away with, and how you might can work out some type of payment arrangement or a lessened amount that you may have to pay on the debt.
Well, there you go. His name is Chuck Davis. He is my lawyer. Couldn't be happier with him. 823-9992. Thank you, Chuck. The time, once again, has rocketed by, and so we will have to do it again sometime in the not-too-distant future, if you're of a mind to.
Good luck with your test this afternoon, Richard. Hope it's a big negative.
I'm studying hard. I'm hoping to pass. Thank you, Chuck.
Luck.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Richard.
Yeah, there's bye. Chuck Davis. ChuckDavisLaw.com. ChuckDavisLaw.com. Pardon me. It's First News time. Stick around.